1 minute 45 seconds.
Arm switched on. Engine prep complete. Light on.
Minus CO. 1 minute 40 seconds.
Mr. Tony, you have CO on one?
I do. Roger, CO's aboard.
The date? 20 February 1962.
Roger.
The place? Cape Canaveral, Florida.
Cameras are both
the time?
Okay, CO,
0947 hours.
On now. AMR, turn on high speed data right recorder. T minus 50 seconds.
Roger, blinking green.
Seconds.
Very good.
Missile arm.
1 minute 15 seconds.
Missile power.
Go.
RF systems.
Go. Stage propulsion. Pressure.
Go. AMR telemetry.
Go.
Telemetry quality.
Go.
Mercury capsule.
Go.
Roger. Loud and clear. How many?
Dealing to internal.
Mark 57 seconds. John, stand by to start EPI on my mark.
Roger.
3, 2, 1, mark.
Roger, EPI is started.
Minus 45. Minus 40.
Status check, pressurization.
Go.
Locks tanking.
Have a blinking high level light.
You are go. Motor systems.
Go. Retract now.
Range operations.
Roger.
Mercury capsule.
Go.
All pre-start panel lights are correct. The ready light is on. Eject mercury umbilical. Oil evacuate.
Mercury umbilical clear.
Mercury is gone. All recorders to fast. T-minus 18 seconds and counting engine start.
You have firing signal.
Good Lord, ride all the way.
Godspeed, John Glenn.
In the quiet sounds of the pre-dawn, a bold new page of history is now just minutes away, and the peoples of the world await its writing. That is the sound of human life. The heartbeat of Lieutenant Colonel John H. Glenn, Jr., United States Marine Corps. Throughout his flight, that sound will pulse from his sealed spacecraft, revealing to those on the ground how well he endures the battering punishment of takeoff and reentry and the hours of weightlessness in the vacuum of space. The launch complex here at Cape Canaveral is alive with the sounds of pre-flight activities. And the men in hard hats, the men who make the spacecraft fly, expend the remaining handful of minutes checking, rechecking to ensure that all is ready as man can make a machine. Amid the din of preparation, the Atlas Mercury space vehicle waits with impatient silence. Glistening in the glare of searchlights, embraced within a towering mass of red steel girders, the gantry. As the gantry is moved away, into the majesty of day emerges the gleaming Atlas Mercury. The soft light of the Florida dawn reflects along the polished line of its towering hull, pointing skyward. And Friendship 7 greets the day of its destiny. The methodical, precise checkout preparations continue, masking the anxieties, the ever-present possibility of another scrub, another delay. Alone now stands the spacecraft, proud and poised, crowned by the golden glow of the sun's first light, light that glitters along its stark bullet sleekness. 10 stories tall it stands, over 250,000 pounds of fuel and electronics, steel and wire, and human perseverance. The countdown continues. The Atlas Mercury takes aboard tons of propellant fuel, and a jacket of glistening white ice forms along the hull as liquid oxygen, 297 degrees below zero cold, cascades into the great fuel tanks with an unearthly scream. As the rocket beneath him is fueled, John Glenn waits and performs the endless ritual of pre-flight checkout. Around the world, the men who will support Colonel Glenn's assault on space prepare to give such aid as they can. Fly Friendship 7, but his success or failure depends on tens of thousands of Earth-bound co-pilots scattered at this moment around the globe. They wait in tracking stations, in ships, in planes. They wait on 3 continents, in lands the dawn has touched, in lands where stars still give the only light. Tracking experts and recovery specialists, few of whom know John Glenn, but all of whom are vitally concerned with his safety, will follow his passage around the world. As the countdown continues at Cape Canaveral, so it continues at such faraway places around the globe as Bermuda and the Canary Islands, Nigeria and Zanzibar, the Indian Ocean and Australia.
You have firing signal.
Good Lord, ride all the way.
Godspeed, John Glenn. 10, 9, 8, 7.
Minus 3, 2.
The space vehicle carrying Lieutenant Colonel John Glenn moves majestically in its flight path, climbing a volcano of edged black and yellow and accompanied by earth-trembling thunder. Trailing its wake of flame, Friendship 7 now arcs toward the horizon, rumbles out over the Atlantic. 130 tons of machinery and hope, shedding all bonds with a diminishing globe, reaching out for its own element, the environs of destiny. Bermuda, 1,000 miles northeast of Canaveral. Bermuda's tracking station must decide in seconds if orbit can be achieved, if astronaut and capsule are go, or if the mission must be aborted. Bermuda's radar and telemetry antennas scan the horizon, searching for the space vehicle.
Roger, Bermuda, stand by. This is Friendship 7, fuel 103-101, oxygen 78-100. All voltages above 2.5, amps 2.6.
Roger, still reading you loud and clear. Flight path is very good. Pitch minus 3.
Roger. I pitch checks at minus 7 on your minus 3.
Roger, 7.
Friendship 7, fuel 103-101, oxygen 78-100. Amps 2.5, cabin pressure holding at 5.8.
Oh, Roger, reading you loud and clear, 7. Cape is go. We're standing by for you.
Roger, Cape is go and I am go. Our capsule is in good shape.
Roger, all systems go, 7.
Oxygen 78-100. Cabin pressure holding steady at 5.8. Amps is 2.6. All systems are go.
Roger, 20 seconds to Seco.
Roger.
Flight path looks very good. 10 seconds, flight path still looks good.
Roger. Seco. Buzzer grade's fired, okay.
Roger, stand by.
Roger, 0G, and I feel fine. Capsule is turning around. Oh, that view is tremendous.
Roger, turnaround has started.
Capsule turning around, and I could see the booster during turnaround just a couple of hundred yards behind me. It was beautiful.
Roger, 7, you have a go, at least 7 orbits.
Roger, understand go for at least 7 orbits.
John Glenn is now in orbit, somewhere over the Atlantic, racing 13 times faster than a bullet toward the African continent.